If you want to grab your songbook and turn to number 885, 885 is kind of going to be kind of the basis for the lesson this evening. How beautiful heaven must be. Remember when I was younger, when we'd down in the Gainesville area, and we'd go to singings on. They'd have a monthly singing at a different congregation. The people who were leading would get up and say their name and which congregation they were from. And there was a gentleman who always would lead this song. He would get up and he would say, "My name's Sherman Hall and I'm from the Ball. If you don't know me, you should." And I always think of that. If you don't know me, you should. And really, you know, as a Christian, how you know that should be true for us. We read of a place called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word He has given, how beautiful heaven must be. You know, as we think about heaven, and we really know that, you know, heaven is a reward for those who are faithful, those who have followed after what God has set before us and have done those things throughout their life. That's what I want us to think about tonight, is heaven being a reward for us. It says that it's a place for the pure. Only the pure of heart will inherit the kingdom of heaven. We know that, you know, Jesus, as He was giving the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, He says there in verse 2, "And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And we know that in order for us to see God, that we will see Him in heaven. For us to be able to consider ourselves pure in heart, we must, as Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, we must think on those things that are pure. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Whatsoever things are pure. You know, when we think of heaven, and we think of the awesomeness that heaven will be, does anyone ever think of heaven as, you know, driving through a city and you make that wrong turn and you end up in the old section of town, that old section where the buildings are starting to fall down and there's graffiti all over the place? We were up in St. Louis this last week for a couple of days, and I took my sister and a couple of her kids, and we took off across the river, and I was going over to a Walmart. It was supposed to be in Cahokia, Illinois. Well, let's just say that they didn't care for the area of town that we were in. But when we think of heaven, is that the things that we think of? Do we think of those buildings that are falling down? No, we think of those streets of gold. And as we'll look at here in just a little bit, we'll talk more about, you know, the human side of imagining what heaven is like. But as the song said, it's made for the pure, and it's made for the free. Jesus says in John chapter 8, in verse 32, I'm going to turn over there so I don't start paraphrasing everything. I'll be doing that enough. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus is speaking to some Jews here. In verse 31, he says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" The truth will set us free. Those who are free from sin, What are we free of? Without Jesus, without his sacrifice, we could not truly be free from sin. And without being truly free from sin, we would not have any hope of that reward of heaven. In Romans chapter 6, Paul writes in verse 17, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." We must be free from sin. That verse continues on. These truths in God's word he has given. It's amazing to know that the words that we get these promises from, that we get these instructions from, that we understand that we will be rewarded, come from God, and we know that God cannot lie, so his word is the truth. This is John 17, verse 17, says, "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth." We know in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll get in 2 Timothy, verse 16 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." The man of God can be complete. The man of God can be pure. The man of God can be free. These came from the greatest teacher that ever walked on this earth, in Jesus Christ. As I was looking at this passage, these words kind of hit me. I'll read it, and it may hit you the same way. In Matthew chapter 22, it says in verse 15, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances.'" You know, for those who were trying to trap Jesus in his own words to admit that what he taught was true, that everything that he did, it didn't matter who you were, he was going to tell you like it was. You know, we can think of others such as Peter, who would, Paul had to call out where he was eating with Gentiles, but when certain Jews came, he would separate himself from those Christians. Jesus was not like this. He taught the truth. He had no bias towards anyone. The second verse of this song says, "In heaven no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. No drooping or pining. You know, I can remember being younger when Dad first began preaching, and I remember how he would talk about in heaven, you know, we would be free from all pain, and you know, he talked about, you know, as you got older, how it was a little harder to get up in the mornings because those aches and pains came, and I'm starting to understand what he was talking about. But, you know, as it says, there will be no pain, there will be no aches, no drooping, nor pining. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4 says, He will wipe away every tear from every eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Can you imagine all those little things that are here on earth that we find to be discomforts, that we find to be annoyances? They'll all be gone. In heaven, no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. There is no better place where Christ and the Father is, or where they are, is paradise indeed. Heaven, as we know, often referred to as paradise. And there's reason for that. In chapter 2 of Revelation, John writes in verse 7, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Who would wish to be anywhere but the paradise of God? God's light is forever there shining. When we are in heaven, we will be there with God. We will be with the Creator of all things, and we will be where He wanted us to be. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Chapter 19 begins with the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. And we know about how Zacchaeus, Jesus talks to him. And verse 5 says, And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He is gone and to be a guest of the man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restored it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. We can turn over to probably the most famous scripture in all the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17 says, For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. God's light is forever there shining. He wants everyone to be able to come to that light. You know, as we read the third stanza, or the third verse, pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free, where jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. You know, back a year or so back when we were studying the book of Revelation, we talked about how, you know, John uses what he could for us to be able to visualize the things that he saw in his visions of heaven. But really, we have no idea what's yet to come for us. We don't understand what's going to be waiting for us, how beautiful things will be. In Revelation chapter 4, it begins, "After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' And at once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne on each side of the throne are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind, the first living creature like a lion, the second creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are You, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created.'" And we... A little heading in my Bible here is, it's called the throne in heaven. If I ask every one of us to draw a picture of what we just read, I'm sure that we would come up with a lot of creative things. And I'm sure that we would come up with some similar things, but we would probably come up with a lot of things that were very different. As humans, we just do not and cannot comprehend the beauty that will be waiting for us in heaven. Turn a few chapters over to chapter 21. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the heaven and the earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And He who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also He said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of the life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" Heaven is for sure going to be a reward for those who are faithful to God. He will be our Father, and we will be His Son. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. In verse 9 it says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined. We can't even imagine those things that God has prepared for us. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. If we endure, we can obtain the promise that God has given us, that we can become an inhabitant of heaven. The writer of Hebrews wrote in chapter 6, he talked about those who have gone before in Abraham, and I'll begin in verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. We know that if the promise has been made, that we too can obtain the promise. We know that God is willing. We know that God is willing to be patient. And that He has been patient. And that He wants everyone to be able to join Him in paradise. In 2 Peter, chapter 3. Verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. We know that the promise has been made to us. We know that the promise is for those who are faithful to God. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 25 it says, and this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. Well, we know eternal life will be spent with Him in heaven. And we know that God wants everyone to be there. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also. As we read in 2 Peter, we know that God is long-suffering. We know that He is patient, that He is waiting for men to come to repentance. But we know that at some point, as Jesus said here in John chapter 14, He will come again. We know that He will come to take us to that place prepared for those who have been faithful to God. And so tonight we need to ask ourselves, am I prepared? Am I being faithful? Am I being pure? Am I being free from sin? If Christ were to come tonight, would I be singing how beautiful heaven is? If not, we need to take those steps and prepare ourselves so that we could spend eternity with God in heaven. Tonight, if you have yet to become a child of God, we pray that you would do so, to step into the baptistry and to go down into the watery grave and to rise a new creature. Perhaps tonight you have let your life go back into the world and to return to a life of sin. Your brothers and sisters are here. We're waiting for you to acknowledge those sins, that we can pray for you and that we could ask God to forgive those, so you too could be a part of heaven with him. If you have needs tonight, we pray that you would come now as together we stand and sing.